This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you, thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. This is Sherry Temple, America's messenger of truth. So America, men, women, boys, and girls, gather around. Please open your King James Bibles to the Gospel of St. John, chapter 3, verse 14, where we left off last time. John, chapter 3, verse 14. Now, just before we began, I want to invite the entire United States of America, all 50 states, to tune in on my program here, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, at 9 a.m. Eastern Time on October 8th for the second installment of America Repent. I am calling it America Come Home to God. My twin friend Scott Mercer and I had a day of repentance back in May 21st. We made a dent, so the Holy Spirit has led us to do this again. Now, those of you locally come here to my school, we'll have the broadcast, and we're going to stay 2 more hours to pray for America. The last hour, we're going to open this place up for a healing and deliverance ministry. I have that gift, and now God is giving Scott that gift, so we're going to open that to the locals. All of you tune in, WMIEFM.com, October 8th, Sherry Medlock's Trumpet of Truth, 91.5 FM, WMIEFM.com, America, come home to God. It's the only thing that's going to save us, that's for sure. And now the Gospel of John, chapter 3. Now, last week, we had a leader in the synagogue, the temple, we might call the church, named Nicodemus, and he was a ruler. So, the ruler came to Jesus by night to ask the way of salvation and light. And the master made answer in words true and plain, ye must be born again. Now, that was in English. We learned last time that the word again is in the original Greek, exactly the way Jesus said it, is a Greek word anathen. Can you say that? Yeah. Anathen. And it means to be born from above. Now, Jesus was not through telling Nicodemus how to be saved. That's the first step. What he meant is, all of you know Ecclesiastes 12, 6, and 7, when you die, your spirit returns to God who gave it. You are with God. And in John 1, we talk about the world that then was and Satan's rebellion. So the first step is that every soul must come from God, from above. God is above. From that, from God, your spirit and your soul, and be put into a woman. Then Jesus says you must be born of water and the Spirit. You must come through the womb of a woman. When her bag of water breaks, that's born of the water. You're born in a flesh. So you have to come through that from God. And then the Spirit, well, of course, he's going to explain that when you get saved, accept Jesus, and the Holy Spirit gives you eternal life. Now, we learned last time that there were a group of God's children in the world that then was, 2 Peter 3:6, who rebelled against God and refused to be born of women. In fact, they came to seduce women. Genesis 6, they're called the Nephilim, fallen angels. So last time we took a field trip to the great book of Jude, and we talked about them. They are twice dead. They cannot ever be saved because they refuse to be born from above. They refuse to take on a body. And, of course, they just made a mess, and they have already been sentenced to perish from within. Now, we pick it up with verse 14. Jesus is continuing to explain to Nicodemus the plan of salvation. First, you got to be born in a flesh body with all the memory of whether you betrayed God in the first earth age or what you did there. Remember, there was just only one little group, the Zadok, that did not betray him. They're sent out in every generation to bear the oracles of light. But everybody else betrayed God. So this is your second chance. So all of you who are in a flesh body, you've done the first part. You've been born from above, but that doesn't make you saved. Now Jesus is going to explain the rest of it.
John 3, verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up,
So Jesus mentions Numbers chapter 21, where the children of Israel were in the wilderness and they mumbled and they grumbled. Now, if you want to get on God's bad side, you start complaining. I have a motto, don't complain and don't explain. God cannot stand mumbling. You have so many blessings, and why don't you just say your blessings instead of mumbling? But they mumbled. God said, I've had enough of that. Can't take it. I've blessed you. So he sent serpents among them, and the serpents bit them, and they were beginning to die. And so the people called out, save us, God. Now, when you call on the Lord and say, to ask for a save, he'll save you. So God said, Moses, make a brazen serpent and put it on a pole, and tell them if they will look on the brazen serpent on the pole, they will be saved. Now, this is a symbol, Jesus is explaining to Nicodemus, that he, the Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us, this same Jesus, would take the sins of the world. The serpent represents the sins. Revelation 20 verse 2 says a serpent is the devil. But in the first earth age, in Isaiah 14, he said, I will be God. He's the one that started this sin thing and deceived God's children. So Jesus says, I will come and I will pay the sin debt. So Jesus took all of the sins that the serpent, the devil, not a snake, just his play actor name, had brought into mankind. And Colossians says Jesus nailed those sins to the cross. That's it. So when you are born of a woman and you repent of your sins and believe that Jesus paid the sin debt, he took your sins on the cross, and you believe and confess with your mouth, then you are saved. See?
15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life.
Now, eternal life is interchangeable with everlasting life. Let me tell you what everlasting life means in the original Greek. It means from the very moment that God created you, you are not in a flesh body, you are with God. Remember Ecclesiastes 12:7. Eons and eons and eons of years ago, you were created, you were spirit. From the moment that he created you, if you have everlasting life, there will never, ever be not one second pause in your existence. Now, when it was your time to be born of water, to come of women, God took you, you're a spirit, that's the intellect of your soul, the soul is your emotion, and he put you into your mother's womb. But you did not have to die from that dimension to come into this dimension. Do you understand? Because look at the doctors. They can hear the little heartbeat so early, can't they? You're living in there. Now, right now you're breathing and you're in a clay pot and you're alive. But if you die the next minute, it's not a pause. I mean, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Zap, we're just like that. It'll be like you're here and you walk in the next room. In other words, this is the thing. God is life. There is no death in him. He is the tree of life. There cannot even be one little dead branch in him. If there's anything about you dead, your attitude, your enthusiasm, your purpose in life, the way you handle life, the way you love people, the way you work, the way you do, you don't belong in the tree of life. Dead cannot stay with God. He is life, life, life. He always has been, he is, he was, he always will be. Hallelujah. Amen. No pause. Now, one of the greatest verses God ever wrote, a masterpiece by Almighty God.
John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
That perish means that there will not be the second death. That's the death of the soul. No pause ever in your existence. Now, in the world that then was, when Satan rebelled and one-third of God's children, Revelation 12, in the spirit body, went immediately for God, and then the other third sat there lukewarm, that's the worst one of all. That means most of God's children betrayed God. There was a little group, Romans 8, predestined, justified, found not guilty. That's the remnant. It's been sent out in every generation to bring forth the true mystery of God. So there was a court held in heaven, and God is the judge, and he sat on the throne, Romans 8 says. And so everybody was found guilty. Now that betrayal of God following Satan is called high treason in heaven. See, even in the courts of the United States of America, a person who commits treason is put to death. Remember Aaron Burr? Anybody in the government committing treason, you better go by the law here. And so, but God loved his children. He didn't want to kill them. He loved them. So he said, I'm going to give you a second chance. So he said, let us make man in our image. Let us make you a flesh body to be the same personality you are now, and whether you betrayed me or whether you're not, and go through the womb. And God never asked you to do anything that he won't do. He said, I'll make me a body too. Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written to me, I will form myself a body. So it was then that Jesus said, I will be the Lamb of God slain from before the foundation of the earth. I also will go in the flesh. Now everybody came. And so you see, here we are. That is love. This is not your first chance. This is your second chance. Because most everybody blew it, except the Zadok, the elect senator in every generation, the very elect at the end. So this is your second chance. Don't blow it this time.
Verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already.
Now, the reason when Jesus came, he didn't say, hello, people of the world, I want to let you know you're condemned because the wages of sin is death, and most of you betrayed me in the first earth age. They were already condemned. Remember, they had a high court in heaven. And he justified and judged and glorified whom he foreknew. In other words, everybody had already been condemned. In other words, that was it. There was no need for him to kick you while you're down. A man's drowning, you don't say, hey, there, you're drowning. And so Jesus came to pay the sin debt, to pay the sin debt. I will die in your stead, he said. The wages of sin is death. And he said, I'll do it for you. I will bail you out.
Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
Now, anyone is condemned who will not believe. You notice it says in his name. Now, in Revelation 19:13, it says, excuse me, his name is called the Word of God. And we learned in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So, we must believe in the Word. See, all of you think of Jesus, and we've seen these beautiful pictures. I even have a description by Pilate and Herod. It's in our Washington, D.C. government. I know they did describe what Jesus looks like. He's gorgeous in the flesh. But that's not Jesus. Before he had a flesh body, before you had a flesh body, he was the Word. So see, we keep trying to see this man. This is God. The Word. What does Word do? It makes a sound. So there's God, he's a spirit, and you must worship him in spirit and in truth, and you are spirits. In other words, when you make a sound, if you sound it out in the spirit and in truth, you have truly worshiped him because he is the Word. Now, when you disobey the Word, that is the Bible, you are denying him. Jesus says, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. Every time you disobey that Word, you're denying him, because, see, he is the Word. Do you understand?
Yep. 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil.
Now, in the recreation, refurbishing this earth after God shook it and was standing in water and preparing it so we could send us all through one time in the flesh, darkness was upon the face of the earth, and Satan is the prince of darkness. And so God said, let there be light, and the light he called day. Day is Jesus' first name. So light came upon the earth, and light dispels the darkness. Now, people who are evil, are living in sin, like to do it under a cover-up. It doesn't necessarily mean that they do it at night, but look at the burglars and the break-ins and behind closed doors. In other words, they do it as a cover-up. One thing I've learned about the light dispels the darkness. See, people that you know, you go have dinner with them, and they are living in sin. Now, we love the sinner. Jesus dined with them, but he didn't go to socialize. He went to convert them. He got them converted. So see, if you were really shining, if you had not turned off your light bulb before you went there with them, and they're living in sin, they know it, you know it, you would have shined so brightly, you wouldn't have had to open your mouth. They would have felt guilty, and they wouldn't invite you there. Do you know that? Some of you turn your light off when you go somewhere where they're living in sin because you don't want to offend them. Shame on you. You're turning your light off. What if he decides to leave it off forever? See, if you're really, really living for God, it's your presence imitates purity. Your presence walking into a place makes people feel guilty. And we're going to find out that some people don't go to the light. He's about to say that. The reason some people quit coming to church, they say, oh, she's a false prophet. She doesn't do it right. She's got it wrong. She does it for money. I don't get money and I'm not a false prophet, but that's what they say. The reason they stopped coming was because they were living in sin and they felt guilty. Do you understand? And they blame it. Oh, how this happens all the time. Now, if you are true light, your very presence when you walk into sin should change the atmosphere. Let me put it this way. Let's say that the ones living in sin are cockroaches and they're eating your lunch. It is dark. And you go in and you're the light. The light turns on, scamper, boy, they go. They don't want you to see that they were eating your lunch. Do you get it?
Yes.
Do you shine?
Amen.
Or you turn your light off and compromise? There is no place. The lukewarm is compromised in the first earth age. Just as bad, more guilty than those who followed Satan. Watch it. You ought to take a stand. We do not have any more time for you to pretend to be a Christian. Everywhere you go, you make a difference. You emanate purity and love and light. We don't condemn people, but we do not agree, and we don't dine. Oh, how sweet and nice you are. And you even take them something when you go to dinner with them. And you know they're living in sin. You are agreeing.
20. For everyone that doeth evil hateth light.
That's right. That's why they don't come to church. They like to use another reason, but the reason is the pastor probably knows they're living in sin.
Neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved.
See, once again, this is not hating people. We love sinners. I go out to the byways and highways. I had a whole bum ministry on my bicycle riding around with all these druggies. It's one I didn't get killed. I had another taxi driver ministry. I mean, all these taxi drivers witnessing to them. And these were people who were living in rank, raw sin. But I didn't socialize with them, go to their party. I loved them, and I gave them food, and I gave them Bible, and I gave them prayer. And then I said, come. And some came and some didn't. You see the difference? There is a difference. We love them, but you must not agree with their sin. That makes you guilty.
21. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light.
Oh, I love it. Boy, you can go 6 months preaching on that. He that doeth truth cometh to the light. It didn't say he that heareth. Jesus' half-brother James, who wrote the book of James, said, you're not just to be hearers of the word, but you're to be doers of the word. Do you know that you can turn on Trumpet of Truth on the radio, internet, every day, 24 hours a day, I'm on the net. You can come every Wednesday and every Sunday and hear me teach. I teach the entire Bible, Genesis 1 through Revelation 22, book, chapter, verse, and line. And do you know that still wouldn't make you a great Christian? What do you do with it? Do you do it? Do you know that since we're in Christ, and Christ is the Word, Isaiah says, the Word will say, do this, go there, give that, say that, you know, whatever. Everything, if you are got it right, if you're in doing the Word, everything in your life must be first measured by the Word. Before you begin to pray, the Word would say how to pray. Before you begin to sing or teach, you would be doing the word in your work. Yes, we can multitask. You'll be doing the work in your social life, in your cooking, in your sleeping, in your home, in your driving, in your socializing, in everything that concerns you, in your shopping. I mean, I don't even go to a store without knowing that's a minister. I'm doing the word, walking up the aisles. You're supposed to do the word 24 hours a day. Do the truth, do the truth, do the truth. It's probably called walking in the word, walking in the word, walking in the word. The word endureth forever. And if you're in it, you'll endure forever.
That his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God.
Now Jesus said to you, little love lights, I'm calling you love lights. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now there are some things that we do for people that we keep it quiet. There are things I'm doing right now for people. They have no idea that I'm doing that for them. And God says that when you fast, when you give, when you pray, there's some things. But there are other things. Your children, your friends, your co-workers, your family, the people in your world need to see you fall on your knees and sob in Holy Spirit prayer. Your family, your people need to see you empty your bank account like I do and give it for God's word. Your people need to see you stop when you see a homeless person and say, would you wait right here and I will go buy you a cheeseburger with french fries. Oh yeah, I'm willing to do that. They need to see you do that. Your children, your family, your people need to see that you wipe the tear of your co-worker, that you understand that that old cold hard attitude of that co-worker is because they were hurting soul, and that you bring in, you made some cookies last night, and you bring that old mean co-worker some cookies, or if you can't cook, go buy some. You see what I'm saying? You just must make a difference.
22, after these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea. And there he tarried with them and baptized. 23, and John also was baptizing in Antioch.
Now this is a great awakening. That's what we want. Here we got the great John the Baptist, the anointing of Elijah. He's preaching, repent ye generation of vipers, ye children of the snake. That's what that means, your children of the devil, and baptizing. Jesus is always saying, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Boy, what a dynamic duo. Oh, what a great awakening. It is good. The kingdom is come on the earth. Uh-oh, somebody's going to interrupt.
Near to Salem, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. 24, for John was not yet cast into prison.
It wouldn't be too long after this that John would be cast into prison and would be beheaded for preaching the truth.
25, then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying.
Now, if you've been listening to me for any length of time, you know the word Jew. I know it's in English. It is not a word. It is Greek eudas. It either means our beloved brother Judah, J-U-D-A-H, one brother of 11 others, one tribe of 11 others. I am of the tribe of Levi, the priesthood. I have a brother named Judah. For the most part, he's in the land of Israel. Or it means someone who says they are Judah, but are not. The synagogue of Satan, Revelation 2:9, Revelation 3:9. You know by now, you must know, because they've destroyed America and they destroyed the church. They have a K-E-N-I-T-E-S, descendants of Cain. Cain is the child of the devil. When the tree of knowledge of good and evil beguiled Eve there in the garden, Paul says, wholly seduced, exopatio Greek. Now, so this is who they were. These were the church leaders. Now, here's the thing about them. They have a religious spirit. That's the worst one of all. I have dealt with people, rank atheists, druggies, alcoholics, crazy people, good people, all kind of people. But you get that religious spirit. They come into an assembly like this, and they watch you, and they look, and they flatter you. But I can watch them. I've learned how to see the demon in them. Just watch it. Here's what they do. They come to bring discord. They go out and say, you know, the pastor's a good person, but I think that she should do it this way, or, you know, after all, you know, I know because I'm really the pillar of this church, and I have no idea what the poor pastor's been through. They come, and they come to divide. They come to break up the fellowship. It's a religious spirit. I can go where I've studied 25 hours to memorize 30 minutes of this with anointing, fasting, and praying, and give you all of this from memory without one note. Lay hands on the sick, they recover. Lead people to the Lord, sing and play the piano and do all of this and get it on the radio. And they will shoot me with one little stupid question that hasn't got even anything in it. Religious spirit. And so this is what they do. They come to conquer and divide. Now, they are going to be coming in a place like this more and more. I can spot them. Scott, we've seen them. They come in sometimes with a religious spirit, but I've watched them. They watch me. I have great spiritual vision. They watch me. I can see their little beady eyes looking through the person, and they're waiting to pounce. And when they realize I'm on to them, we'll watch them turn and run. Demons are afraid of you. Religious spirit. Watch them come to divide. They're coming to divide the kingdom. Jesus says a house divided cannot stand.
26. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizes, and all men come to him.
Oh, Pastor John, you promoted that Jesus? Do you know what he's done? He's taking your people away from you. He's betrayed you, John. Now, let's see. John is wiser than serpents and harmless as dove. Let's see what a true elect says and does.
27. And John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven.
The Bible says every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness. John says, yes, I have been given the anointing of Elijah. Yes, I can speak and fire comes out of my mouth and people get healed and miracles happen. But he said, God gave me this gift. I am using my gift to the best of my ability, and Jesus is using his gift. Now, in teaching music, I have books for adults, and I have books for intermediates, and I have books for tiny little children whose hands are not strong. And for the little ones whose hands are not strong, there's a little song I teach. It's called, Tom Thumb, play the drum. Tom Thumb, play the drum. Tom Thumb is so little, he's about as big as the first part of your thumb there. If you put Tom Thumb and all of his family in your pocket, you still have room for more. But Tom Thumb can play the drum. He's got little hands and little arms and a little body, and he has to have a tiny little drum. But oh, he plays the drum with all his heart. And then comes the Mr. Mean Green Giant. And he's got a drum as big as an 18-wheeler. He is so tall and big. The green mean giant takes two fingers and hits his great big old drum, and everything shatters. He makes fun of little Tom Thumb. He says, you're so small and I'm so tall. You're so little and I'm so great. But little Tom Thumb knows he's done his best. He's used every ounce of energy. He's not complained. There's not one cell in his body did not play for the glory of God. And he says, I'm just as big for me as you are big for you. Remember the story of the talents. Jesus gave one man 10 talents, and he took the 10, and he went and used them, and they multiplied. The thing about God is when you use what you have, you get more. The world uses and loses, but God we use and it multiplies. One man had 5. He used the 5, and God multiplied more. Well done, my good and faithful servant. And one man only had 1, and he said, that's not worth anything. So he hid it, and the Lord was very angry with him. Now, what do you have in your hand? Everybody has got something that you can do for the Lord. Whatever it is, give it all you've got. Everything, all about it. Any kind of a gift that you have. How about you have eyes, and there are people in nursing homes that have lost their vision? who used to read books, do you have any comprehension what a grief 24 hours a day never ending that who loves to read? And you've got eyes, and you say, I can't sing, I can't play the piano, but you've got eyes. Why have you not called your local nursing home and said, may I have a 1 hour every week, the same time every week? May I start a reading to the blind in your nursing home? It may be one or maybe five. What a gift. Do you have any idea what that would mean to someone who used to read? And you say, I can do nothing. And you go home and you sit and you look at your television and your eyes are not doing anybody any good. I'm talking to people that don't have gifts. We all have gifts and callings. Don't tell me you don't have that. America, United States of America, all 50 states, I want everybody in all 50 states, in every city, I want all of you, somebody in each state, in each city, let's form it right now. The Trumpet of Truth, read to the blind in the nursing homes. You don't have to have a license. You don't have any money, so they can't take your tax-exempt license away from you. Go out there. Jesus told us to be his hands. He told us to be his feet. He told us to be his mouth. You go out there and be somebody's eyes. If you ever knew what it was like to have loved to read and you couldn't read anymore, how could you not go and read? What a ministry. What a ministry. Now, when you go, don't you read like a monotone. Read with love, enthusiasm, to put on your warm, fuzzy heart. There you have it, an assignment. Let's start it, America. Let's do it all over America. How about that?
Amen.
Next week, I'll give you another assignment.
28. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ.
I told you, I'm not the Messiah, says John.
But that I am sent before him. 29. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, who standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy is therefore fulfilled.
John sets him straight. Listen, Jesus came so he could remarry. He came for a wedding. He's the bridegroom. I'm the best man. And I is the best man. And you, Christian, you do everything you can to get this wedding perfect. Go and tell. Bring them in. Share the truth. Win the soul's witness. And rejoice in the Lord. You're his helper.
Verse 30. He must increase, but I must decrease.
See, you thought that you were about you, your comforts, and your house, and your family, and your car, and your bank account. No, you are about the kingdom of God. You are here to increase his kingdom. But I can assure you, as you increase his kingdom, your joy will be made full. For when you love somebody, what makes you so happy is to make them happy. He's the bridegroom, and you're the bride. You are here to increase the kingdom of God, not to increase your kingdom. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We'll pick it right up there next time. Well, I hope you were blessed. And now it's time for Mystery Moment, questions and answers to unveil the mystery of God with my twin friend, Scott Merson. Hello, Scott. How
Hi.
Are you?
Good, Miss Sherry. How are you doing?
Just great. Thank you.
I have a first question by one of our listeners who wants to know if you could please talk to us about the Elijah anointing.
The Elijah anointing. Well, that's great. John the Baptist has that. The Elijah anointing means in the spirit of Elijah. Malachi chapter 4 says that anyone who has the Elijah anointing will always tell you there are two fathers. There's God our Father, and then there is a seduction in the garden when Satan beguiled Eve. Now, that's the first characteristic. Of course, it's a rich anointing. The two witnesses of whom you are about to be aware will have such an anointing that it's like fire coming out of their mouth. Not literal fire, but God is a consuming fire, and there is just a power. power in that that dissipates the darkness. John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elijah, and he told them, he said, "You generation of vipers." That was his first sermon. "You generation," in the Hebrew, that would be Greek, means brood, and vipers means the serpent. And the two witnesses would do the same thing. Scott and I both have the anointing of Elijah. This ministry has that. And so we're blessed, aren't we?
We are. We are very blessed. And I know we're also told that when the spirit of Elijah is in the land, that there will be visible confrontations with the enemy.
Yes.
Yeah, and there will also be judgments.
Yes,
also,
like Ahab and Jezebel,
yeah.
And Elijah went, and because he had stolen Naboth's vineyard.
Yeah,
that's right. I remember that.
Our next question comes from somebody who wants to know, when you are being persecuted for righteousness' sake, how do you handle it?
I'm glad you said when. I want to tell you something, Christian. If you are not being persecuted for righteousness' sake, you aren't doing any good. I'm not talking about troubles. Everybody's got troubles. I'm not talking about you don't get enough money on your job or your family. I'm talking about if you are winning souls to Jesus, if you are getting the truth out, you're going to be shot at 24 hours a day. Here's what I do. There's a Hebrew word called gor, G-O-O-R. We studied it on Wednesday night in Psalms. David used it. In the English, it means turn aside from the way into lodging. What I do, when they get me, and they get me, many times they linger behind and get me, and they stab me, and there I am, I'm vulnerable because I've just knocked myself out, digging dishes in the hot sun for 12 hours is what goes through me in 30 minutes of this teaching, and there they shoot me. So what I do is I just hush. And I let them rant and rave and tell me what a miserable, rotten person I am, on and on, and I go on. I settle down into Christ. I'll find you'll start helping my shoulders relax. And I just let them go on and on and on. I've learned to do this. I haven't always done it, but I'm teaching. The word gore comes good to my mind. Don't ever argue with a demon. Don't argue with a religious spirit. I know that I teach the truth. And I know I don't get money for it. I don't get fame for it. I suffer for it. So I don't have to apologize. I don't complain, and I don't explain. Just let them rant and rave, and then when you've had enough, say, "God bless you," and shake the hand and let them go. Okay, that's it.
All right. We have another question that comes kind of in line with that. They say, are demons on the earth right now?
Oh, Lord have mercy, yes. So the river Euphrates in Revelation has been opened. Demons are walking all over this planet in their demon body, and then there are demons coming in, traveling in people's bodies. We have that quite often in here. They run, don't they, Scott?
Yeah, they do.
They can't take the mic.
We exercise the blood of Jesus Christ on them.
You can really zap them, can't
that's
you?
That's right.
Scott's a demon slayer. Well, I am too. We're twins.
And then we have our last question comes from somebody who wants to know, what is a trump?
A trump means an action. It's short for trumpet. There are seven trumps in Revelation. The seventh one is the last one out. I think you call that the great trumpet, when
yeah.
Jesus comes. The sixth trumpet will be when Antichrist comes. We're in the fifth trump now, which is a time of learning, and I am sounding the trumpet. The shofar that we blow in the Old Testament, that's the same thing as a trump. The word's used interchangeably. So we blow the shofar, and we blow the word of God and declare the word. That's what we're doing right now in the fifth trump.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Scott. Appreciate you doing a great job. Absolutely, absolutely. Well, your love line of the week, from my heart to your heart. If you have two T-W-O, give one away. If you have two, give one away. What you keep is terminal and will decay, but what you give away to help another will last forever and a day. And now, for those of you who are lost, pray this with me, please. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Forgive my sins.
Forgive my sins.
Save me.
Save me.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Use me.
Use me.
To enlarge your territory.
To enlarge your territory.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I love you.
I love you.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Now, if you prayed that in a minute, my announcer is going to give you my, if you meant it, call me and leave a message on my machine and tell me. Now, for those of you who are sick, in the name and the power of Jesus, I ask, O Son of Righteousness, that the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in your wings. Let laser beams of healing virtue go to the north, the south, and the east, and the west. Penetrate into the body, into the bloodstream. Let cancers be gone in Jesus' mighty name. Let the vertebrae be healed. Let the vertebrae be unpinched. Let the shoulders relax. The tension be gone. Let the brain stem, the back of the neck, let all of the jaws be released there. The headaches be gone. And the stomach be healed. Peace be still. Diarrhea be gone in Jesus' name. Digestive system be healed. Breast be healed. Hearts and lungs beat. Pelvis, toes and feet, everything get it. Missing body parts, go back in the name of Jesus. Blind eyes see, deaf ears hear. Top of your head, the soles of your feet. Healing virtue, healing virtue, healing virtue. To God be the glory. Sent his word and healed you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And now, if you were healed there, call and tell me that too. Well, now remember this about Jesus, Yeshua. His name is called the Word of God. And Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Now wait for my announcer. If you're being blessed, call me and say so. Now this means you, some of you say, I'm waiting for somebody else. Are you blessed? Well, say so. Okay, call and say so. Leave your questions, leave your prayer requests. And God bless you and God keep you. Whatever you have is not yours to keep. If you have two, give one away. I love you. God bless you. See you next time.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
Many a dream has died, like a tree planted by the water, we never will run dry. So living water flowing through, God, we thirst for more of you. Fill our hearts and flood our souls with one desire, just to know you and to make you known. We lift your name on high. Shine like the sun, make darkness run and hide. We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life. It's time for us to more than just Father's heart. Into the world we're reaching out to show them who you are. So living water flowing through, God, we thirst for more of you. Fill our hearts and flood our souls with one desire.
your name on high. Shine like the sun, make darkness run and hide. We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life. It's time for us to more than just survive. We were made to thrive.
Hey!
All that you had, and you're wondering if you'll ever get it back. But the whole wide world is waiting for, waiting for you to step out that door. Come on and let your life be heard today. You got something to say. If you're living, if you're breathing, you got something to say. And you know if your heart is beating, you got something to say. And no one can see it like you do. Question here, would anybody miss you if you disappeared? Well, your life is the song that you sing, and the whole wide world is listening. Well, the answer to the question is, you were created, your life is a gift, and the lights are shining on you today, cause you got something to say. If you're living, if you're breathing, you got something to say.
Turned into wine. Open the eyes of the
into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None like you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power. Our God. Our God. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no
listening to WMIE, today's Modern Worship, 91.5 FM.
Stillness. ever instead.